So we're still on this 2020. And the 20th verse in chapter 4 reads, "My son, attend unto my words, incline thy ear unto my sayings." Verse 21 says, "Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh." And here, this is historically, this is Solomon, and historically he's telling this to his children. Doctrinally, this is the Lord God instructing the nation of Israel. And spiritually, it's instruction for a born-again believer today. We can take some of these spiritual messages. There's 4 points here that I see in this. And the first one is the word. The second one is the ear, our hearing. The third one is our eyes, our seeing. And the fourth one is our heart. And I would just like to kind of talk about those 4 things because they're here in this verse. We'll do this all in the light of God, or in the light of his word. When you study what you hear, what you see, what your heart is in your heart should be what's in this book. And so that's how I'll approach this. I believe that's how God wants us to do that. We'll look at it in the light of God. And so on that note, I would go to the book of Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And we'll start there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. This is the first recorded word of God. Now, I'm sure he spoke other things and said things to angels and did things, but this is the first recorded word of God in his book. And verse 3 says, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." I'll say this is not the sun, the moon, and the stars, but this is the light of God himself. If you go over to the book of Revelation chapter 22, in the new heaven and the new earth, and we see the altars there, the Lord is there, and it says there is no need of the sun, there's no need of a candle for light, for the light cometh from God himself. That's this light here. So we look at everything in the light of God. In the discourse here of creation, verse 3, God divides the light from the dark. And I wrote the verses down in order. Verse 6, he divides the waters from the waters. Verse 7, he divides waters from the firmament or the heavens. And verse 9, he divides the waters from the dry land. And what I see here is God is a divider in the light of what he does. And this division actually leads to boundaries. The boundaries of water, the boundaries of the heavens, the boundaries of the oceans. And God puts boundaries there for men. All his creation. Because without boundaries, men would leave God and they would never come back. Yeah. They would just go. God give them a free will and they can just do whatever they want. And without boundaries, they would leave God, and God did not intend that. It's not what he wanted to do. So, I would say that in this light here, and looking at the context of this, that the light is divided from the dark. And it is so as God, as good, is divided from evil. Light represents good, dark represents evil. And he gives us boundaries, for we understand good and evil. So when he says, let there be light, this starts a series of events. And he does this in creation in order for man to have fellowship with God. That's the whole purpose of this creation. He goes down the line with all these things and sets out boundaries because his intentions are for man to have fellowship with God. If you would go to 1 John chapter 1, hold your pace here in Genesis. We may come back there. 1 John chapter 1. Familiar verse, but we'll read it again. Verse the apostles are talking here, and he sums up in verse 3 what he's already said in verse 1 and 2. And verse 3, he says, that which we have seen, he's talking about the eyes, and heard, talking about the ears, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And these are the apostles and the Jews, and now the church is being invited into this scenario of having fellowship with God. And he says, truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And this is the fellowship that we're looking for, that God created everything for, so that man would desire to have fellowship with God. And verse 4 says, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Without fellowship with God, your joy is not going to be full. I mean, we do a lot of things in this world that we like to do, and we enjoy them. We can go bowling, okay? We can go hunting, fishing, camping, whatever you like to do. I like to fish. I like catching big fish. It's fun. I give up catching small fish. I just go for the big ones now. I don't keep most of them anymore. I just go in for the whole thrill of the fight and the whole experience. And even if I don't catch a fish, I've had a good day. If I'm on the water, out, just doing whatever I want to do. But I'm never satisfied. I want to catch that big one again. I want to go after them tomorrow, the next day, whenever the weather's right, or I feel good enough to go out. And my joy is never full doing that. The only way our joy is ever going to be full is in Jesus Christ, having fellowship with God on a daily basis, staying current, doing all those things that God asks us to do here in His Word. So we'll look at a few of these things here and in the light of God. And if you would, I don't think we'll go back to Genesis. We'll go to the book of John, John chapter 1. We'll look at this in the context of the light of God. John chapter 1, starting in verse 6. It says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John, and that's John the Baptist. And he came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Verse 8 says, he was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of the light. Verse 9 says, that was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Jesus is the light of every man that ever came into the world. He was there when God said, let there be light. And that light was the light that lights up men to know that there is a God, that there is a creator, that we're his creation. He loves us, and he would like us freely to love him back. If we're in book of John, we'll go over to verse chapter 3. We'll just follow through this. Chapter 3, verse 9, I believe. I don't have that right. Chapter 3, verse 18. Get on the right page here. Verse 18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Condemnation is just doing nothing. Because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil, and we can see it every day wherever we go. Unborn again believers are not condemned, but the rest of the world is condemned because they want to do whatever they want to do. And God did set boundaries so they can't go too far away. They're never going to get away, but they want to go. And their joy is not full, so they're looking for whatever they can look for, and they're looking in the wrong direction because Jesus Christ is the only way, and anything else than that is condemnation, and that's darkness, that's evil. And they don't want their deeds to be known. You tell somebody that they're a sinner, they're going to tell you right away that they're not. That they're going to do whatever they want to do. John chapter 9. Verse 5. We'll start with verse 1. And Jesus passed by, and he saw a man which was blind from his birth. This man couldn't see any light. And he goes on to tell the story about it, but in verse 5, Jesus answers the question from his apostles, and he says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Okay? This, everything that we look at, our eyes see, our ears hear, our heart has in it, has to be looked through the light of God. We'll take this to another step if you go to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Well, let's start in verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. He's talking to believers. And then verse 8 says, for you believers were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. So the light kind of went from God, who is the light, and he kind of reflects it on us, believers. We are the light, and God can use us as light in this world. But we're not light in any other aspect except when we're in Jesus Christ. So he says, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in goodness and righteousness and truth. Those are all things that the light shows. So he says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And verse 11 says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. So we're to have fellowship with God, but everything else that's not of God and is not true light and is darkness, we're to have no fellowship with them. Verse 12 says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret, but all things are reproved. So first he says, prove things, make sure they're the right things, they're the light and not dark, and then he says, reprove them. So I looked up the definition of reproving, and I can go through the Bible, but I looked it up in the Webster's 1828. And to reprove something is not just because you approve of what is good, but the bad thing it says, Brother Tim and I were kind of talking about this, to reprove him, somebody's got to tell him that that's, you convince him that it's a fault. That's faulty thinking. You're living your way in your life, but it's faulty thinking. Or to make known the evil deeds of darkness by the light. You can show them a scripture verse that says, here's what this says, here's what you say. You know, who are you going to trust? Your own conscience, your own mind, your own imagination? Or are you going to trust God and his word? So it says, all things are reproved, and they are made manifest or made known by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. The truth is light. Wherefore he saith, arise thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Everything is weighed in the light of God's word. So 15 says, See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise, redeeming the time. And he tells us to go ahead and follow the light. Psalms 119, Brother Jim has been going through Psalms 119. I don't think he's got this far, but Psalms 119, verse 105 says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Okay? God's word is our light now, and we are light, and it's an awesome responsibility to have the reflection of God's light on us to show that we believe Jesus Christ and we're followers of the truth in his word. In everything that we do, everything we see, we hear. Matthew 4:4, and again Luke 4:4, both say, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. What we hear, what we see, what goes in our heart is based on God's word, and he is the light. We won't go there, but if we did, we could go to Matthew 12, verse 36 and 37. And it says that We're going to be justified or condemned by the very words that come out of our mouth. If we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and ask him to save us, we're not condemned. If we don't do that, we're condemned. Basically, we live or die by God's word. We either live eternally or we die eternally by God's word. So the next point in Proverbs 4:20 says, incline thy ear. And some people listen, but they don't hear. They're listening all the time to things, but they don't really hear what's being said. Job said in Job 12:11, he says, doth not the ear try words as the mouth trieth food? We got to understand what we're hearing. If we hear the right thing, we'll hear what Romans 10:17 says. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, right? All the things that we try with our ears have to be compared to the word of God and the light of it. So I just wrote down a few things here in the Gospels here that were interesting things about the ears. And if you would, we'll go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2, verse 47. It says, all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Okay? I have some competition this morning. I appreciate that. Yeah, right, right. I'm sure that's what she's saying, amen. So, all that heard him with their ears were astonished at the Lord Jesus Christ's understanding and his answers. If you would, turn over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, verses 28 and 29. And it came to pass, when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine. For he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That was one of the very main things that started me on the road to believing that God's word is perfect. Because I heard so many people not talk about authority, and they're born again believers, but there was no authority to what they said. It was just psychology or whatever they wanted to make up a good story, a good oration. That I'm not, but God's word is. And I'm not afraid to go ahead and use God's word to proclaim it, to say what it says. These people saw it. They heard, they were astonished, they understood the answers. And then he taught them one as authority and with doctrine. And then if you would go to Mark 12. Mark 12, 37. Now the Lord was giving a discourse here about King David. And verse 37 says, David therefore called himself Lord. And whence is he then his son? And he puts a question mark there and ends that. And then he says, and the common people heard him gladly. And that's how we should be with God's word. The common people. I'm just a common man, okay? I'm glad I'm not up high, and I'm not glad I'm not down low. I'm just a common guy, and I want to hear God's word, and I want to hear it gladly. So the next thing in Proverbs 4:20 says, let them, the words, not depart from thine eyes. So we went through the word itself, the light of the word, the ears of the word, and now the eyes. Then again, some people are seeing, but they're not looking. And if you would, we'll go to Luke. Luke 11. Just to shed a little light on that. Luke 11, verse 33 and 36. Through 36, it says, starting in verse 33, it says, no man, when he hath lighted a candle, put it under a secret place, neither under a bushel, but on a candlestick, that they may come and see the light. For he says, the light of the body is the eye. And this is what we're talking about, the eye. When the eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. When the eye is evil, the body is also full of darkness. So he says, take heed therefore that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body therefore be full of light, having no part of dark, the whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle doth give thee light. And this light is the eye that goes to the mind. It's the window of our soul. It's the window of our mind, this eye. And an example of that would be in Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, very familiar verse, talking about seeing and looking with the eye. It says, therefore, seeing in your mind, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, and that was what was talked about in Hebrews chapter 11. And these people, it says, faith cometh by our... It says, let me get to it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They didn't see them. We didn't see them still, but we can see it in our mind that there are examples. And we should take note of that, for it says in verse 2, looking. Why would we do that? Well, we saw this as examples, and then 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He's the author and finisher of all things, okay? So we see what's around us in our mind in the light of God, but we're looking at Jesus. That's why we do what we do. What's the point? Otherwise, we're doing it for ourselves or we're doing it for somebody else or whatever. But if we do it for Jesus, then we're doing it for the right thing. We did it in the light. Again, Psalms 119, verse 18 says, open thou my eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Okay, I've got something here. I'm not sure where I'm going with this. I don't know if I wrote down the right thing here. Yeah, Ephesians 1:18. This is a Sunday school, and school you go through a lot of verses, and I do when I study and read this. So we're going to go through a few more verses here. Ephesians 1:18. It's a prayer that we should all pray. The Apostle Paul asks this. He says, he prays that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. That's light. You take N off of the front of that, you got lightened. There's light there. That ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. When we see these things properly, we get to, it's not a hope like we hope it happens. We're just hoping for the day it does happen. And the things we're hoping for are our salvation, because we're saved from all our sins. We're saved from all our sins. And they were paid for before we even committed them. And they're paid for before the last one that I commit. I'm still alive. So that's a hope that we have this salvation and that we're saved from all our sins. The other hope is the second coming of Jesus Christ, that in eternity we'll be with him in heaven forever. And the third hope here in this verse is our inheritance. We get eternal rewards, but we get them because we love the Lord. I mean, if I just do things because I know I'm going to get rewards, that's not the right motive. But if I sanctify myself after I'm sanctified with God and Jesus Christ eternally, I still have a sanctification to take care of here on this earth, which is to separate myself from the darkness and keep myself in the light of God. The next thing that is part of our inheritance that we're hoping for is our service that we do down here is part of our inheritance. What we do, the Lord can do with us if we're cleaned up in this life, okay? Not the eternal life, but here in this life, he can use us to minister to ourselves and to others, our husbands, our wives, our children. Wonder why families are falling apart. Because we're not cleaned up like God asks us to do and walk in the light, in the word, hear what we see, what's in our heart. And the third part of that inheritance would be our suffering. You might suffer something. You might lose something. Paul said, I count all things lost, but for the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Peter said, Lord, we gave up everything. What are we going to get? He said, well, anybody that gave up family or houses or lands, and he's talking to the Jews now for the millennium, but he said, they're going to get 100-fold. Well, I don't know what Lord's going to give me. I don't really care. That's his business. But he says, if I'm willing to give up something, he's willing to give me back. Yeah. Because I love him. I want to show him that I did this out of my love for the Lord. I'm not a very lovable person, but I'm going to try. Okay. So we'll end that about the eyes, the ears, the word. And we'll go to the last part was in Proverbs 4:20 says, keep them in thy heart. Psalms 53:1 says, the fool says in their heart, there is no God. Okay? But he said, the things that you want to keep in your heart. And again, in Psalms 119, verse 2, we won't go there, but six times it's mentioned in just this one psalm, 11 times throughout the Bible, it says to do it with thy whole heart, with the whole heart. It's not a half-hearted thing, part-hearted. I looked at the seven aspects of the heart in the Bible. There may be more, but I believe there's seven here that's evident to me, and I like seven because that seems to be God's number seven of perfection. And the seven things of the heart are things that you cannot see. I can't see them. We don't know what's in a man's heart. The heart consists of the soul of man. It's the inner soul. It's the spirit of man. You can't see the soul or the spirit. It's the mind of man. You can't see what's in a man's mind. It's the will of man. It's your emotions. These all make up the heart, the core, the essence of a human being. Our conscience is the heart. And then our physical heart, which is there, and I think that's all part of it. And you can't even see that unless you're on the table for open heart surgery or some other such thing. And those seven things are the core of the heart of man, that we put in everything that God says, we put it in our being, everything that we are. I will close on this. If you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 9. The Apostle Paul says, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And he talks about these three things that Solomon was talking about thousands of years ago. The heart, the eyes, the ears. But he goes on to say, but God, in verse 10, hath revealed them to us, unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So God has opened up a window for us to see these things. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man that is in him, or which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God knows what God's all about. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God makes known these things to somebody that loves him. He'll let you know what to see, what to hear, what to put in your heart. I'm looking at I think there's a song in here we sang the other day. Pastor made mention of this. 163, if you would, turn to page 163 in a hymnal. Clara H. Scott put this together. Her life was from 1841 to 1897. Don't know when this was written, when she put it, composed it, whatever. But she must have read what Solomon said here. And she read what it was says over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And then she took the word and she hid it in her heart. And then she sang songs and hymns and spiritual things, right? That's what the Bible says to do. And so it says in the first verse, open mine eyes. The second one says, open my ears. The third one says, open my mouth. But if you jump down to the next stanza on the bottom there, it says, open my heart. And then those three things are said again. Open my eyes in the last stanza. Open my ears. Open my heart. Here's a woman that understands the doctrine of what the Bible's talking about. And she put it into a song for all to minister to you and me and to all of us. And that's what God does. That's what he wants for all of us to do. Just on a daily basis. Just take his word and do what you can with it for good. So I'll close on that. Father, we do thank you for your holy word. Thank you for the light of it, that we can look at it and hear it and put it in our heart, Lord, that we might prepare ourselves to have fellowship with you. We thank you for your love, and Lord, help us to love you back as much as we can. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.